for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday morning, December the 29th, 2016. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Issues of the Heart.
Bless you, Lord. Lord, we come before your throne, and we confess we don't even know how to pray as we ought, but you said your Holy Spirit will make intercession for us when we pray. Father, we just cover this camp with the blood of Jesus. We cover Merrill and Barbara, and Lord, we cover Patty, Kevin, all the workers at this camp. Every person that's here, all of our families that are not here, we cover them with the blood of Jesus. We just bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this camp, spoken over us. And Lord, we pray a special covering of warrior angels over and around all of those who love you with their whole heart to boomerang back on the enemy every curse and assignment that's sent against us. In the name of Jesus, not to kill them, hurt them, harm them, but so they'll fear God and turn away from evil. We wall up, put a hedge of thorns around every person that would want to do us evil. Even, Lord, if there's someone here that would want to do this camp evil, we declare that all the curses will fall to the ground in the name of Jesus, and that you'll wall up their way in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for our new president today. We pray a hedge of protection around him, Lord. We thank you for this man. We thank you that you have given us the stay of execution. We praise you, Lord, that he's not a part of the one world order. Praise you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. We ask you to give him wisdom today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just bind the strong man over this camp, over each life in Jesus' name. Lord, you said we cannot spoil the goods of the devil until we bind the strong man. So we bind the strong man over every person that's here in this room in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that the eyes of our heart be enlightened. We ask that you let us know the truth that sets us free. We pray for the conviction of sin, the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of repentance to come upon us in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray you loose your ministering angels into this place, whatever kind of angel we need to assist in deliverance, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We ask for your anointing that breaks the yoke. We ask you to download me, Lord. Tell me what you want me to do, in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. We bless you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We thank you that we have authority over all of Satan's power, and we bind him and every demon in this place, deaf, dumb, blind, and helpless. And we declare the minute you hear our voice, you'll come trembling out of your fortresses, yes, in the name of Jesus. And you will leave every person in this room and go where Jesus sends you, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, I'm sure I want to thank all of you who've been praying for my granddaughter and my family. But for those of you who don't know, my grandson-in-law was the pilot, the fighter pilot that went down near Japan about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he ejected from his plane, and he was killed. And so his wife is having a baby next month, and she's got a three-year-old. So please continue to pray that God will heal her broken heart. And, you know, God says he works everything for our good when we love him and we are called according to his purpose. And the purpose is to conform us into his image. You know, you can be as submitted to God as you know how to be, and there's still a lot of stuff down there. Amen. And I thank God for this camp, because every time I go home, I'm different. I'm sure my cousin Lorna, and I want to introduce my cousin Lorna right there. She said she said that I'm lucky that she's her cousin. I heard her say that this morning. And of course, lucky means you're trusting Lucifer, but we're not trusting Lucifer. So bless the Lord. Don't say that. In Jesus. Anyway, when we kids, she spent every summer with me, and we were disconnected for 40 years. We didn't even see each other or have any contact, and she came back into my life last year, and she keeps me laughing all the time. Some of the things never mind. I should laugh at, but I do. Anyway, Lord, forgive me. heart's a good medicine, right? Is that what he said? Praise the Lord. Anyway, I thank you for your prayers. And, you know, before Kylie was born, she's just 29, but I prayed for her for 43 years. All my grandkids, I prayed for them for 43 years. And if you have children or grandchildren, start praying for them now. Start praying for their mates, that God gives them the right ones. And I can say that those prayers have been answered through my grandkids. They're amazing, all of them. But anyway, I pray that God would give me a little girl that would be created for His glory, especially for His glory, to live for Him, to serve Him. And so, you know, brokenness is good. We all have to be broken. Otherwise, we're like wild horses that have to be tamed. And even though she was submitted to the Lord, there's always more. God wants to take us deeper with Him, and He'll work it for our good. He never gives you, when something is taken away, He never gives back half-baked or half or less. He always gives you more. And so we just have to keep on trusting Him. He said, if you delight in me, you'll have the desires of your heart. I know sometimes when I thought about the brokenness in my life, that I thought my life was over. I wouldn't be doing today what I'm doing now, which really was the delight of my heart, would be to serve God, if I hadn't gone through the pain that I've gone through over the years. So I may teach on suffering, or I may teach on financial problems. So how many for financial problems? I better ask the Holy Spirit, forgive it. I better ask Him. I don't want to get y'all messing me up. Anyway, bless the Lord. We thank you that you'll show us what to do, Lord. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I want to do something a little different. I'm going to kind of just, we usually do this at the prayer time in the morning, but I felt like that sometimes you can do it one morning, and the next morning there's new people that come in, so I just decided that I would do it all for all of you, so you'd have it. But we're just going to do some deliverance. The first thing I want to talk about is soul ties. A soul tie is a connection in the spirit. You cannot see it with the human eye, but if you can be joined to somebody through any sin you've committed with somebody, or anybody you've judged, anybody you've sinned against, anybody that sinned against you, you can carry the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. If you've been addicted to drugs, then you have soul ties with anyone that you've had sex with, or anyone who's sold you drugs, given you drugs. Anyone you've associated with drugs, same thing, anybody you've given drugs to or sold drugs to, you can have a soul tie, and it's a connection. It can be connected like a thread, like a string, like a rope, like a cable, like a chain, depending on the depth of sin that you've been involved in. And so we'll be breaking those soul ties. But through soul ties, you can carry the sicknesses and diseases of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can carry their familiar spirits. You can carry their addictions. If you can carry their mental problems, their emotional problems. You get the demons of whoever you sin with or sin against, or who sins against you. If you let this, like if they sin against you and you let the sun go down on your anger, you've got a soul tie. So the first thing I want to talk about is soul ties, not just soul ties, but anger and unforgiveness. It tells you in Ephesians 4:26, do not let the sun go down on your anger, or you'll give a foothold to the devil. That means in every place you and I have let the sun go down on our anger, we've got till sundown to deal with it, but in all the places where we've let the sun go down on our anger, it's opened us up to bondage by Satan and by his demons. Matthew 5 tells us that it says, make friends with your opponent quickly at law while you're on the way, lest he turned you over to the judge, and that's, you know, the judge is God. The officer is the demon, and you'd be thrown in prison. So every place that you have let the sun go down on your anger, and you've not asked God to forgive you and forgave that person, then it opens you up to a demonic soul tie, and you're in a prison in that particular area. And, of course, we know that the demons are the one that puts us in prison. And so in all the areas where we've let the sun go down on our anger, we're held captive in that area. If you've let the sun go down on your anger in 1,000 places, you've got 1,000 different prisons you're in, and the demons are the one that keeps you in prison. And when you hold unforgiveness, it tells you in Matthew 5 that when you you'll go into that prison and you won't come out of there till you pay up the last sin. In other words, until you forgive. If you don't forgive, you don't even have salvation. Jesus said that if you don't forgive, he will not forgive you. So that includes salvation, includes healing, includes deliverance. And so in Matthew 18, God tells us, Jesus gives a parable of a man who had two servants, one who owed about $18 and one who owed about $10 million. And so the one who owed $10 million, the Lord of that servant told him to pay up, and he said, I don't have it. And so he forgave him. And then he goes out and finds somebody that owes him $18, and God just forgave him for a $10 million debt. And he finds someone that owes him $18, and he says, pay up. And, of course, the person didn't have the money, so he chokes him and throws him in prison. So whenever you hold unforgiveness towards someone, you put them in a prison concerning you. You may judge them because they don't love you, but they maybe do love you, but you think they love everybody in the world, but they don't love you. And so in that parable, Jesus, the Lord of that servant, went and told the Lord what the man who wouldn't forgive what he had done. And so he is speaking to Peter in that parable, and he said, so he's turning you over to the tormentors, which in the Greek, that means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. So wherever we don't forgive, we're turned over to a tormentor, a tormenting spirit. And the word tormentors means demons that inflict pain, and it means the pain of disease. And so I personally believe the Bible teaches that behind disease is unforgiveness and bitterness and anger. And either we need to be forgiven or we need to forgive somebody. And to forgive means it's not an emotion, it's a choice. It means it's something that I choose by an act of my will to do. I don't have to want to. I don't have to think it's right. I don't have to think they don't deserve it. I choose to do it because I love God more than I love the spirit of unforgiveness. But to forgive means I'm sitting on my judge's bench. And so to forgive means I walk over to God's courtroom and I put him in God's court where he's the judge. And I put him in there and I give him to God. I let it go and I rest my case. It means to transfer one case from my courtroom to God's courtroom. And usually when somebody hurts you in the present or somebody pushes your button, it goes back to a mother or daddy issue that you've not forgiven. So when I take somebody into God's courtroom, I bring my mother and daddy, because if mother and daddy hurt me in any area or wounded me or I judged them in any area, the Bible says the life doesn't go well for me. It says, honor your father and mother that all may go well with you and your days be long upon the earth. And so what I do is, the Lord showed me how to forgive. I had lunch with someone one day, and we got in a disagreement, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, and the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. Well, I can't believe she ran. And I said, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. You forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. So I started saying, Lord, I forgive my mother for being negative, for being critical. I forgive her for this. I forgive her for that. And it was over. So if you can quickly forgive, it's not a mother-daddy issue. Like, for example, Randy may say, Jerry, forgive me for what I said yesterday. And I say, well, what did you say? Because it wasn't an issue with me. But if it had rained on my parade or pushed a button, then it goes back to a mom and dad issue or grandparents issue. So to forgive, you get off your judge's bench, you take your mom and dad and everybody that's hurt you and put them in God's courtroom and close the door. It means you've rested your case. And if you don't forgive, you won't have salvation, you won't have deliverance, you won't have healing, you'll stay sick. But if you forgive, then God breaks the judgment that you've made, and you need to break soul ties. So forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a choice. You choose to transfer it from your courtroom to God's courtroom. If you can't quickly forgive, it's a mother-daddy issue. So why don't you stand up and ask the Lord to show you every person that you haven't forgiven. And you can go this way. Anybody that the turkeys in your face that you can't stand, do they remind you of your mother and father? Lord, in Jesus' name, pray with me. In Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Who do I need to forgive? And then just forgive. And when you get through forgiving, then if you'll sit down, we'll do deliverance. And then we'll do something else. Lord, in Jesus' name, pray with me. In Jesus' name, I choose by an act of my will to forgive all the people you've shown me. Lord, I don't want to be tormented anymore. I don't want to be sick. I want to be well. Forgive me for bitterness, anger, and forgiveness. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for fear, doubt, unbelief, lies, lying, in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother and father for doing what doing to me what these people in the presence are doing to me, if that is the case. Or I forgive my forefathers in the name of Jesus for harassing me, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I take the sword of the Spirit and I break every soul tie with all of these people. Lord, I get off my judge's bench. I take these people by the hand, my mom and dad, my forefathers, and I put them in your courtroom where you're the judge. And Lord, you judge if it would glorify you the most for them to continue that way. Lord, you're the judge. I let it go in Jesus' name. You know what God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, he'll repay. The law of sowing and reaping will catch these people, and they'll get more later in the same thing if you're not wishing something would happen to them. Because then you get disciplined. But you put them in God's courtroom and you release it to the Lord in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just come against all spirits of torment, unbelief, doubt, worry, anxiety, tension, stress. We come against lies, lying, unbelief. In the name of Jesus, we come against all tormenting spirits. And try not to hold your hands or cross your arms because it's a type of resistance. So don't be... Well, everybody does it. I mean, sometimes we just lock our hands or we hold our hands like this. But just let it go. In the name of Jesus, we come against all spirits of sickness, distress, and disease that's come in through letting the sun go down on their anger in the name of Jesus. We come against pride, contention, strife, revenge, anger, bitterness, hostility. Come out now in Jesus' name. All tormenting spirits have to leave in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus. The word spirit means breath, and so in Jesus' name, just blow out in the name of Jesus. It's just your way of resisting. In Jesus' name, come out every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Leave now in Jesus' name. The familiar spirits of every person they've been angry at in the name of Jesus. All spirits of addictions, all emotional problems, mental problems has to go now in Jesus' name. Torment, torture, the tormentors, inquisitors, come out in the name of Jesus. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. And I come against the spirit of resistance in this place. Every spirit that's trying to block deliverance, I command you to go now, for it is written, if we abide in the word of God, we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So we declare freedom now in Jesus' name. Go now in the name of Jesus. All demons that would block deliverance in Jesus' name, stubbornness, pride, arrogance, boastfulness, haughtiness, come out in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus' name. We break your power. Well, let's pray this. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for vowing I'll never forgive. Forgive me for vowing I'll get them back. Forgive me for vowing that I will never forgive them. And Lord, I forgive my forefathers for anger and bitterness that's come down the bloodline. In Jesus' name, we break generational curses, social curses, cultural curses, in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you. We say there's no one like you, Lord. The next thing is I want to talk about God's refuge. Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. It says, I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I take refuge. You will deliver me from the snare of the trapper, the noisome pestilence, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that stalks at noontime. And it says that you will give your angels charge over me, lest I dash my foot against a stone. It says, because I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil will befall me, nor will any plague come near my dwelling. I don't know about you, but I have a few plagues in my dwelling. I can say eye problems is one of them. But plagues are sicknesses. And so it tells me that there's some place in my life or in the lives of my forefathers, they were not under God's refuge because of that curse of blindness. You can read Deuteronomy 28 and you can see there's 53 or 54 curses and there's like 14 blessings. And you see that eye problems and sickness and disease is a curse. Proverbs 26:2 says a curse without a cause cannot lie. So if I'm under the curse any place, which eye problems is a curse, or skin cancer or sickness or distress or disease, someplace I'm not under God's refuge. If you picture God's refuge like a big umbrella, when I'm under that refuge, I'm safe. And there's a scripture, I hadn't intended to do this, but I didn't look up the scripture, but there's a scripture that says that when I'm in God's refuge, I'm paraphrasing, that the breath of the ruthless, or Satan's breath, is like a rainstorm against a wall. Now, if you've ever been in a house when it's raining and rain's hitting the windows and hitting the roof, you're dry. Because it's a picture of being in God's refuge. So when I'm in God's refuge, the breath of the ruthless, Satan's breath, is like a rainstorm against a wall. And so when I'm outside of God's refuge, say if I'm outside that umbrella, that's where the arrows are flying. That's where I get hit. And the Lord told me years ago, when I'm getting hit, I need to find out what's sticking out here. And so I need to repent of whatever it is and get back under God's refuge. And that's a safe place. When I'm under God's refuge, the scripture says, my life will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. It says, against such there is no law. So if there's no law under God's refuge, I step outside of God's law, and the demons are executors of God's law. If I step out from under God's refuge, I'm going to get hit out here. So if I'm getting hit, instead of standing there like a dumb boxer and says, hit me, hit me, hit me, I need to find out why I'm getting hit, because a curse without a cause cannot lie. And most of you, if you didn't grow up with a godly mom and dad that were under God's refuge, most of us were born out here in Satan's territory, getting hit. When I'm under God's refuge, there's no law. The scripture says that the law out here arouses in me sinful passions. And so those of you who've been drug addicted or addicted to something, and I used to be addicted to diet pills, so I know what that's like. But when I was 13, I had a good mom and dad that protected me, but my mother didn't know what else to do. Instead of saying, no, you're not going to eat this, she just was a enabling mother. She took me to a diet pill doctor when I was 13, and he got me addicted on diet pills. So for 27 years or 17 years, I forgot, it's been so many years now, I was addicted to diet pills. But you see, when she put me out from lawful authority, she put me out here under unlawful authority, where the law aroused in me sinful passions. So out here I crave. In God's refuge, I don't crave. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Out here, there's no control. Out here, it's totally flesh, the works of the flesh, which the Bible says if I practice the works of the flesh, I won't even go to heaven. So most of you, if you didn't grow up in a godly home where your daddy was a spiritual authority and loved the Lord, then you were born outside of God's refuge. And so what we want to do is get you back under God's refuge, okay? The scripture says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. Now, that strong tower is more real than this building. God's refuge is more real than this building. When we're walking under God's refuge, the Bible says, in Isaiah 35 that the highway of holiness, we're on the highway of holiness when we're under God's refuge. When we're walking God's refuge, it says, and we're walking the highway of holiness, the Bible says, that no lion, which is a picture of Satan, no fool, which could be ISIS or Black Lives Matter or Move On or the protesters or whatever. It says no lion, no fool, no unclean can walk on the highway of holiness. And that's the only place I'm safe. The scripture says in Psalms 41:10 that I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. So if the enemy is shouting triumph over us, God's not pleased about something. So I need to find out why he's not pleased. And then repent, because the scripture says, if I confess my sin, God is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And what Randy said last night, repentance is not a one-time thing. It's not just believing in Jesus with your head. But repentance is a lifestyle. And if you practice daily repentance, every time you repent of something, you get free of a demon, whether you realize it or not. James 4:7 says, give yourself to God, number one, resist the devil and he flees. I've discovered that the minute I ask God to forgive me, that it's boo demon. The demons are there because of sin in our life. And if you're not aware of anything you want to get free of, just start repenting over the Word of God. When you read it, you see a lot of things to repent over. And you're going to have to be in the Word of God in the days we're living, because otherwise you're going to believe everything the devil tells you. So God is a refuge. He's our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. The scripture says, I'll not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, because God's my refuge. And I can tell you, I don't have fear because I'm wanting to live in under God's refuge. My grandson David told me that had helped him more than anything to know that when he was under God's refuge, he was safe. And so we need to know that. So why don't you stand up, and I want you to forgive your mother and father for any dysfunctional way you grew up of not protecting you. You know, fear comes on these days because most of you that had to raise yourself, all of a sudden you hear about all the things that are happening in this world, ISIS and all the things that are happening, and you think, oh dear God, I have to protect myself, and I don't know how to do that. But God wants to protect you. He don't want your arm of the flesh. He's trying to break our own self-sufficiency, our own independence. If you're a strong person, like I have been, God has weakened you. And he's used this I thing to weaken me. It's a refining process. And so if you're a person that's weak, he wants you to be strong. And so he wants to be your everything. So Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Show me anything, Lord, in my life, and show me, Lord, how I grew up. Did I grow up in dysfunction with my mother and father under your refuge? Show me what I need to repent of, Lord. And then when you're through repenting, if you'll sit back down, then we'll do some more deliverance. Okay, the next thing I want to deal with is button pushers. Anybody ever have a button pusher? I thank God. I've been getting to so much deliverance. Whenever time I go home, I'm different. I thank God for that. I thank God for this camp. I mean, all those demons that Randy named last night, I'm familiar with the demon, but I didn't know if it was working in me or not. But anyway, it's out of here. I mean, why take a chance? When in doubt, throw it out, right? It's the same with what you have in your house. Anything that you have a doubt about, you need to throw it out in Jesus' name. And so, anyway, a button pusher is a place where you have a raw sore down in your heart. It's a place where you let the sun go down on your anger. You know, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So if they don't bring you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, they provoke you to anger. And because parents are human, there's areas where they're flawed, just like we're flawed. And so in the areas where they're flawed or we're flawed, we're not trained up in the way we should go. So if we're not trained up in the way we should go, we're provoked to anger. And that's where anger comes in. And when parents violate the law of God and train you up, little children don't know they can go to God. So what they do is they turn to a promise. When I get out of this house, life's going to be different. Or when I grow up, I'm going to find somebody who loves me. Or whatever their parent was deficient in. When I grow up, I'm going to find someone who will talk to me or communicate with me or who will love me or who will protect me or who will listen to me or who will value me. And if I don't turn to God as a child, would you agree if I turn to a promise I make myself to cope with my pain, would you agree that I turn to a false God? And so that's our idolatry. And Randy, give me your definition. I liked what you said last night about idolatry. I always said it's loving something more than you love Jesus, but you said it a different way. It would have something to do with any place you violate God's will.
Well, any place where any thought or action is contrary to God's will or His words.
That's the best definition of idols I've ever heard.
Anyway.
Any sin. All sin is idolatry. And the Bible says if we practice idolatry, we'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so wherever you are angry or wherever you have a button pusher, it's attached to an idol. Wherever you have fear, it's attached to idols. Because all it says in 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. So if parents are violating the Word of God, and I let the sun go down on it, and I don't turn to God in that pain or in that failure or flaw of my parents where I've judged them, I turn to a false God, and because I've turned to a false God, I'll have a wound in that area, and then somebody will come along and they'll either look at me in a certain way or say the same thing or do something that my parents did or didn't do, and it pushes my button. And so those button pushers are wounded places that I've let the sun go down on, and I haven't turned to God, I've turned to something else, a promise I made myself. And so, a button pusher, when I used to get my button pushed, it would be like I could feel it going, stop right here. I wouldn't give you the satisfaction of knowing you hurt me. Cry. Right? Is that right?
That's
right. So sometimes, if you're a person that kind of suppresses things, you feel it right here in your throat. Or if you're an explosive person, you'll be having a happy day and somebody push your button and you go crazy. So I had the subtle, suppressed anger, except I would nail a board over my mouth for about 6 months, and then I had enough, and the board flew off. But I thank God for teaching me about deliverance, because every day I get delivered of something. And the more you get delivered, the more the Bible says that you'll change from glory to glory and strength to strength. Because He doesn't want us, you know, we all have to get old, we all have to die, but we don't have to be feeble. I remember a couple of years ago, when I'd get out of my chair, I'd walk like Chester. I don't know. I would walk like for a few minutes, and I thought, well, it's just because you're getting old. And then I got to where I couldn't hardly walk for 2 weeks. So I was going to teach on a Saturday, and this was a Friday, so I'm preparing. I repented all day long on scriptures on walk, path, pride, cripple, lame, every scripture that had to do with my walk, and at the end of the day, I was totally healed. And so the Bible says He sent His word to heal you. Now, you can take medication, and I'm not condemning you if you do, but you've got the side effects to deal with. Recently, I went and had cataract surgery, and they determined, and I break the curse, that I had glaucoma, and they gave me glaucoma drops. Well, it was making me tired. It brought my blood pressure down to 120 over 60. Anyway, I'm cutting back, and the Lord showed me that one of the roots to glaucoma is stressing out over things. You know, you can think that you're not in fear. You can think you're not stressing. But I found myself one day thinking, my secretary had been sick, and she works the kennel. I'm telling you, she reads things for me. She's just amazing. But she had been real sick, and I was thinking, now what if she don't come now? What if she don't get well? What are you going to do? I thought I'm in fear and stress, and so I said, Lord, every time I start to get into stress, then I ask you to show me, and I'll repent and I'll let it go. And He's been showing me that, and so I've already cut back on the drops, and I'm hoping that I don't want to have to take them. But there's a spiritual root to it, and eventually I'm not going to take it anymore, because anything that lowers your blood pressure when your blood pressure is normal already must not be good for your body, right? The side effects of prescription drugs is the number 3 and 4 killers of people in the United States. Illegal drugs is not even in the top 10 of killers. And really, there's no difference between illegal and legal. One's legal and one isn't. That's the only difference. But anyway, and one pill might cost $5,000. What a racket. If it worked, they'd be out of business. So anyway, that's no condemnation. So what am I talking about? Button pictures. Okay, so stand up, and whatever's pushing your butt, whatever pushes your button, ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to show you where that came in, what failure of your parents brought that in, where you judged your parents, judged other people. Because I've been doing this for years and years and years, I can say that if anything pushes my button, I don't know what it is. But I'm sure some will come up, and I'll deal with it. I'll say, okay, Lord, how did that get there? So pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, how did these button pushers get in me? Lord, I ask you to show me what the biggest problem is. What makes me mad? What rains on my parade? I ask you to show me, Lord. And I want you to trace that back to mom and dad and your judgment of them, of letting the sun go down on your anger. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for all the times I judged my parents. And Lord, I didn't go to you because I didn't know I could. And I turned to a promise or a vow that from now on, I was going to find somebody that would protect me, love me, value me, not control me, not tell me what to do, love me, accept me, value me, affirm me, forgive me for promising myself that when I get out of this house, life's going to be different. And Lord, it hasn't been. I've realized that my parents did a better job than I did. So Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for judging my parents. Life has not gone well in these areas. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I turn back, forgive me for idolatry. I turn from the idol back to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, if it'll bring you, this is how I deal with fear or anger or something that I think should be done, and I'm stressing about it. I'll say, Lord, if this would bring you greater glory and honor for these people to keep on treating me this way, then so be it. But devil, you can't touch me in the name of Jesus. Lord, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for this bad thing to keep happening, let it keep happening. But devil, you can't cause it in Jesus' name. And basically, when you can release it to God, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. Or if you think, well, I use my grandson David, for example. He was going to go into the Marines when he graduated from the University of Texas. And I knew there was a calling of ministry on his life. Well, for 3 months, I grieved because I did not want him. And it's honorable to want to serve your country. But my grandson-in-law, I felt like he probably had an influence over him, and so he was wanting to join the Marines. And so I grieved about it for about 3 months, and finally one day I said, Lord, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for David to go into the military, then so be it. But say, and Lord, if it would not, but Lord, if it glorify you the most for David to go into the Marines or go into the military, then I ask you in the name of Jesus to put him in the Marines. But Lord, if it would not glorify you the most, then I ask you in Jesus' name to not let him go in the Marines. And I just let it go. It didn't grieve me anymore because, see, I'm living for the glory of God. So I want whatever would bring God the glory. So God says, this is the confidence you can have toward me. If you ask anything according to my will, I'll do it. And it's his will that he be glorified. Is that right? So if you're living for his glory, then you can be sure God's going to answer that prayer. And you can release it if you're living for the glory of God. Same thing with my son that died of AIDS in 1989. I had just watched a crack documentary. And I was driving down the road and this woman went, what if he takes crack? And just fear came all over me. And I said, but God, if that would bring him to salvation quicker, I ask you in the name of Jesus, let him take crack. The devil, you can't touch him. He never got on drugs. You know, most of what we fear never happens. And so you have to give up your life, Jesus said, that you might find it. And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. If you can release it to God, then it'll cast all the fear out. My grandson didn't go in the Marines shortly after that, and I didn't pray nothing would happen to him. But shortly after that, he tore something in his knee, and that ended his military career. And now he's here at Lake Hamilton. He's skiing right now, but he's at Lake Hamilton on the prayer team with me now. And so there's a calling on his life for ministry, and I've known that. So praise God. But you have to give up your life that you might find it. You hold on to your life, Jesus said, and you'll lose it. And so in Jesus' name, I pray with me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for being bitter, resentful, angry, promising myself that life is going to be different when I got out of this house. And Lord, it hadn't been different. It set me up for the bad things to keep happening to me in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I turned to idols instead of turning to you. So now I turn back to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I let go of the idols. And if it would bring you greater glory and honor for life to continue the way it is, so be it. The devil, you can't touch me. You're bound in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, I ask you to heal every sore place down in their hearts. I ask you to heal their wounded spirits. I bind up their broken hearts. I press them out. I bandage them. I soften them with oil in the name of Jesus. Now, every spirit of anger and bitterness has to leave now in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, all the demons of idolatry has to go now in Jesus' name. Take a breath and blow out. In Jesus' name, go in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Resist it. Resist. Come out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you for 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 the blood. You know, sometimes a wounded spirit, we think our skeleton holds our body up, but our spirit man holds our body up. And if our spirit man is crushed and wounded, you could picture, you just draw a little figure of the outward thing of a person's body and do another one inside, and then you just imagine that the spirit man is crushed, it can be one of the roots to back problems. Because if your spirit man has been wounded, it can affect your back. So if you're a person that just gets your feelings hurt a lot, you got a lot of places where you've got a wounded heart. And then God wants to heal that. That's one reason Jesus died, that you can be healed of every wound. God can heal you of every fear. You know, we tolerate fear like that's just, well, everybody's got a little fear. God says, fear not. It's unbelief, it's doubt. God says, the just will live by faith. And so we tolerate these things when God wants them out of us, in Jesus' name. Okay, the next thing I want to deal with is an unloving spirit, and that's an antichrist spirit. And for most of my life, I was tormented with this unloving spirit. It's a demon that nitpicks you 24/7. And the one I had working in me would say, fat, 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 fat. And the one you have says something else. It's a spirit that works in you that tries to contradict everything God said about you. It's a spirit it's a voice that nitpicks you 24/7. And you let it stay because you think it's you talking to you. I put up with it for I don't know how many years of my life, probably for, I'm saying probably for 15, I got delivered from it about 15 or 20 years ago. But it tormented me every day of my life. It constantly nitpicks you. And you put up with it because you think it's you talking to you. You think that voice is you talking to you. Well, you're just fat. You're just this. You're just that. It's a demon. But it's an Antichrist spirit, and it comes in through the parent most like you. Because if those of you who have children know that you have the hardest time with the kid most like you. Is that right? Those of you who have kids. Because you know all your weaknesses and shortcomings, and you don't like yourself, so you don't like the kid. What you see in the kid, because it reminds you of you. And so it's a demon, and it's a spirit of self-hatred, self-bitterness. I used to hate myself, and I'm sure maybe you have a hard time believing that, but I did. I used to hate myself, not like myself. And because of God's delivering me over the years, I actually like myself now, but I didn't used to. And when we don't feel good about ourselves, our body doesn't produce the proper amounts of hormones, neurotransmitters, dopamine, and all the serotonin and all the things our body needs to make us feel good about ourselves. And so, but it's a spirit of self-hatred, self-bitterness, self-rejection, unforgiveness of self. Not accepting ourselves. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God knew before the foundations of the world exactly what He had for you. And if you stay on the potter's wheel, He's the potter and you're the clay, He will fulfill what He put you here for. But you got to stay yielded. Being on the potter's wheel means that I have to stay under God's control, which is the same thing as staying under His refuge. Letting Him do with me what He wants to do. He's a good shepherd, and we are so busy telling the shepherd what he needs to do when we need you just to follow the shepherd, because he knows. He leads us beside still waters, peaceful places. He gives us food. It says that He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, and He takes care of everything. The shepherd takes care of everything. So in Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me for trying to tell you what to do. Forgive me for not letting you lead me. Forgive me for hating myself. What time is it and what day is it? The 29th and what time is it? 11:25. I accept myself as your workmanship, fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, this day, I forgive myself. I repent of hating myself. I repent of condemning myself. I repent of rejecting myself. Lord, I repent of arguing with you over the way I was made. This day, the 28th of December, 2016, at 11:30 a.m., I accept myself as your workmanship. Lord, I get on your potter's wheel. I give up my life that I might find it. I yield to you, and I thank you, Lord, that my part is to yield to you, and your part is to fix me. Forgive me for trying to turn the potter's wheel. Forgive me for perfectionism, trying to do it myself, self-hatred. Now agree with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you for telling me that this voice that's been talking to me is not me talking to me, but it's a demon. And this day, I command this unloving Antichrist spirit to get out now in Jesus' name. Get out of every person in the name of Jesus. All spirits of self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, all spirits of depression, discouragement, all spirits of self-idolatry, go. Perfectionism, you have to go. Antichrist spirit, you have to leave. Nitpicking demon, get out of every person in this room. Tell them to get out. Every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord, get out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, double-mindedness, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of unbelief and doubt, lies, lying in the name of Jesus. All spirits that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord, get out of every person in this room now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now go. And I want you to think about what you've been hearing about yourself. It's a lie. And now tell it to go. In Jesus' name, you unloving Antichrist spirit, in Jesus' name, has to go now. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and praise with, sing with me in Jesus' name. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, don't let that thing come back. I tell you, I've had peace since I cast that thing out many years ago. When I learned it was a demon and it wasn't me, it took a hike. In Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, the next thing is how we see God. Well, before we do this, let me say this. Repeat with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, you made Him who knew no sin to be made sin for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. And I run into it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that some boast in chariots, some boast in horses, but I will boast in the name of the Lord my God. The wicked are bowed down and fallen, but I will arise and stand in Jesus' name. I stand firm in the faith. I gird my loins with truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In the name of Jesus, I take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and I quench every fiery missile of the evil one. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that I can run upon a truth. Say it with me. I can run upon a truth, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. I have all authority over all the power of the enemy. That in the name of Jesus, when I use the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus used all principalities and powers, making an open show of them, triumphing over them at the cross. Thank you, Lord, that I overcome by the blood of Jesus, the word of my testimony. I love not my life, even to death. Say it in Jesus' name. When I'm weak, I'm strong. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. In the name of Jesus, I will fear not, for He is my God. I will walk the highway of holiness in Jesus' name. I will confess my sin. God is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. You know, when you fall off the potter's wheel through sin, confess your sin, get back on. You fall off, get back on. Let me tell you, you'll fall off less and less. In Jesus' name, bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Okay, the next thing is a fainting spirit. A fainting spirit comes in because we have a poor image of what God the Father is. We judge, how we judge our mothers and fathers, we believe a lie that God's the same way, if it's good or bad. And so, when the Bible says there's a throne of grace I can go to, and at the throne of grace, I have to humble myself to go to the throne of grace, the Bible says. When I humble myself and go to the throne of grace, the Bible says I get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. So when I go through a trial, if I don't go to God and deal with it His way, I come short of the grace of God and I receive a root of bitterness and I take a nosedive. A fainter is a person that may be having a happy day and he's like, the minute a problem comes along, he's like one of those little paper airplanes that you throw up and it goes clunk. And so a person that's a fainter may be having a happy day, but the minute a problem comes up, he takes a nosedive. And the reason he does that is because he's got a poor image of God the Father. And so a person that faints, they faint because they don't go to the throne of grace to deal with it, because they got a poor image of God. So they come short of the grace of God and they receive a root of bitterness. But a person that faints sees God like he saw his mother and dad. If his mother and daddy didn't forgive him, he doesn't go to God for forgiveness, because the lie is God won't forgive him either. If he sees God and his mother and daddy were drunk all the time, the lie is, well, God, he's drunk and incoherent, so no use going to God. If your parents weren't there, the lie is, no use going to God, he's not there. If your parents didn't protect you, God didn't go protect me either. If your parents didn't love you, God don't love me either. If your parents rejected you, the lie is God's going to reject me. So when I go through a trial, I don't go to God and deal with it His way, because if I do, I get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. Otherwise, I receive a root of bitterness. And bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. Bitterness will kill you. Bitterness is behind cancer. It's behind sickness and disease. Praise the Lord. And bitterness also is the root of arthritis. And many, many other maladies in the name of Jesus. So stand up, and I want you to forgive your mother and father for every negative thing you can think about them. And don't say, I forgive them for all these things. Say, I forgive them for being a couch potato. I forgive them for not loving me. I forgive them for being a drunk. I forgive them for lying. I forgive them for stealing. I forgive them that they didn't affirm me. Whatever failures they had, and then sit down when you're through. Life doesn't go well wherever you judge your mother and father. Life is not going well. We'll do that next. Pray with me. Lord, I forgive my father and mother and forefathers for the lack of nurture, for not loving me, for not accepting me, for not valuing me, not protecting me. I forgive them. They were never there. They never answered my questions. They never solved my problems. They just let me flounder. I forgive them that they abandoned me. I forgive them for divorce. I forgive them for being in witchcraft. I forgive them for being alcoholic, drug addiction. I forgive them for introducing me to drugs. I forgive them for divorce. I forgive them for hating each other. I forgive them for, y'all pray with me, I forgive them for not affirming me, not valuing me. I forgive them for controlling me. I forgive my mother for being a controller and not being submitted to my dad. I forgive my dad for being an Ahab. I forgive my mother for being a Jezebel. I forgive them for not teaching me the word. I forgive them for not teaching me about Jesus. I forgive them that they were into a cult. I forgive them for Satan worship, witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, I forgive them for hating each other, for contention and strife. I forgive them for being mentally ill and depressed and incompetent. I forgive them for being lazy and not working and not providing for me. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, and everything else you've shown me. Anybody want to name out something? Because somebody else may have the same problem.
Apathy.
For being apathetic, okay? That's a good one.
Yes,
not caring.
Yes,
what else?
Overindulgence.
Overindulgence.
Yes,
what else? Showing partiality. Yes.
Yes,
see, when you grew up that way, then you'll go to somebody and say, would you pray for me for this or that? Because you feel like that other people are going to show partiality, and that maybe this other person has more power with God than you do. So what else?
Abuse,
sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse,
verbal
abuse,
alcoholism,
drug use, didn't have a relationship with them, they never said I love you, they never hugged me. What?
They don't want to.
They don't want to. I forgive them for molesting me if they did.
Sarcasm,
criticism, judgmentalism,
manipulation,
greed, selfishness, stinginess. What else?
Gambling.
That we had no clothes to wear. Poverty. Forgive them for if they were rich, working all the time. What else?
Deception.
Being deceitful, lying to me.
Talking about one another.
Talking about one another. Not loving each other. Divorce. What else?
Adultery,
fornication, not being faithful to each other. I forgive them that I had to be the mama, I had to be the daddy, I had to take care of the kids, I had to be the workhorse. I forgive them for working all the time. What else?
False blame.
What else?
Cruel words.
Not listening.
Neglect.
Abuse. Anything else?
Meanness.
Meanness, cruelty.
Not loving me the way I want.
Right, not loving me the way I want to be loved. And see, when you make a judgment like that, it sets up a reaping process that you never find anyone that loves you the way you want them to. That's the law of sowing and reaping. And that's not just to point you out, but that's just to illustrate we're all that way. We all have our own ideas of how things ought to go. Any violation of the Word of God, there's an automatic judgment, whether you even realize it or not. It's an automatic sore place down in your heart, wherever parents don't train you up in the way you should go. It provokes you to anger, and you may not even know you're angry. You know, God doesn't show you all these button pushers at once, because you collapse. You couldn't take it if you saw everything that was wrong with you at one time. So God uses your present problem to show you the next thing He wants to set you free from. So in the name of Jesus, so you see why you don't go to God if this is your opinion of God? And if that has been your opinion of God, then you want to give up, quit, and bail out. If a person has a fainting spirit, if they're married, they want to bail out, quit, and want a divorce. When I married my second husband, every time there was a problem, he wanted a divorce. Constantly. He left me, I can't tell you how many times in the last 10 years before he died. And you know, if you don't bear fruit for the Lord, He cuts you off. According to John 15, He does it. He lets the demons cut you down. And so we need to bear fruit for the Lord, because if we're not producing fruit for the Lord, then we're like that branch that dries up. So Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents for all these things we've named and all that You've shown me. And Lord, I've been a fainter because I haven't gone to You to be strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. And Lord, I go to You now in the name of Jesus. Thank You that You're nothing like my mom and dad. Thank You that You're a perfect God. That You're not a man that You could even lie. That You love me with an everlasting love. That I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm a part of Your family. You have given me authority over all the power of the enemy. And so now, Lord, I come to Your throne of grace, and I repent of bitterness, of a fainting spirit, wanting to give up, quit, bail out, and get a divorce. In Jesus' name. You know, if this is your attitude and you married, say you did get a divorce, and if you don't deal with your issues, you go find someone else and you'll find the same thing down the road. So you have to deal with your issues in the name of Jesus.
Sister, they need to break those vows.
Yes. In Jesus' name, I break all the vows I made. That I'm never going to marry anyone like my mother and dad. I'll never be like my mother and dad. And Lord, it set up a reaping process. I forgive my parents for training me up in the way I shouldn't go. And Lord, I break those defaults. And I ask You to reset the default to walking in repentance. In Jesus' name. Lord, I come to Your throne of grace now. And I forgive my parents. And thank You that You will strengthen me, confirm me, establish and perfect me. And I command all fainting spirits, all spirits that want to give up, quit, and bail out, come out of each person in this room now in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of Jesus. We break Your power. All pain has to go. All vexation has to go. All anger, bitterness, hatred, variance, strife, go. All button pushers, go in Jesus' name. All sore places, leave now. Fainting, giving up, come out now in Jesus' name. We break Your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I take these two out of all these swollen places. I bring them out of those prisons they've been put in Jesus' name. Set them free from prison, Lord, that they may praise You in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. You know, one thing I had to judge my mother, I had to repent. I would ask my daddy if I could do something, and he'd say no. And then I'd go to my mother and say, Mother, can I do this? Daddy said I couldn't. Oh, go ahead and do it, just don't tell your daddy. You don't think that didn't confuse me, that I could talk God out of stuff? You see the lie? So if you find yourself fainting again, ask God why. Because if you think God don't love you, you don't want to go to a God that you don't think loves you. But it takes faith to come if you believe He's like your mom and dad. He's nothing like your mother and dad. So, Lord, we ask You to give them now a correct image of You. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, the last thing. Stand up. Let me say, if you're married, 99% of the time, you're either married to someone like your mother and father, or you'll be like your mother and father. And so when people are married, 99% of the time, we're living with our mother or father. And the issues that come up, I wish I'd have known this would heal a marriage. You know, we go to marriage conferences, and they say, now, husbands, you love your wife like Christ loves the church, and that's true. And wives, you submit your husband, and you submit, you respect them, and that's 100% true. But what we do is beat each other over the head with that. The only thing that's going to heal a marriage is to go back. If you're married right now and your mother, your wife or husband is getting on your last nerve, to trace that back to your mother and father. And because God's letting people mirror what He's wanting to change in you. And I thank the Lord for showing me that, because people are not an issue with me anymore, because I see what God's trying to teach me through what I'm going through. God will keep on letting the lost sowing and reaping. You'll keep on reaping until you finally get it. It's like the children of Israel. We go around the mountain, right around the mountain. Had I known what I know now, I'd go in my prayer closet, and instead of trying to tell Him to quit, He had to love me like Christ loved the church, and Him saying, you're a stubborn, rebellious woman, you need to submit to me. I'd go in my prayer closet and say, Lord, how does this relate to my mother and father? And then when you forgive your mother and father, you repent of the judgments you make, that's what heals the marriage. Because everybody's got bitter root judgments. They've got blessings from their mother and daddy. They have judgments from their mother and daddy. And the only way to heal a marriage is for us to deal with our mother and daddy issues. Had I known that, but I didn't get it. But now I get it. In Jesus' name, some of it. Bless the Lord. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, show me where my life is not going well. And help me trace that back to dishonoring my mother and father. And then just sit down when you're through. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for judging my mother and father, or even my forefathers. In Jesus' name, forgive me for not honoring my mother and father. Now, honor doesn't mean you have to like them or fellowship with them if they're evil, but it means you forgive them by sundown. For all the times I didn't forgive my parents by sundown, Lord, I forgive me for judging them, having contempt for them, swearing I'd never be like them or never marry one like them, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I've ended up being just like them or marrying someone just like them or experiencing the same thing. You know, what you're going through up here is a rerun of your childhood that's not been dealt with. So in Jesus' name, Lord, I want to deal with it. And I ask in Jesus' name that over the next days that You show each of us, Lord, what You're trying to teach us through what we go through. In Jesus' name. Praise You, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And Randy, I want to ask you to do a couple of things. Would you come and break Masonic curses? Let me finish this, Randy. Pray with me. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my forefathers for worshiping the devil if they did. I forgive them for making satanic vows and covenants. Forgive me for doing it, Lord. I break blood covenants, curses of death, covenants of death in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I forgive my forefathers for worshiping the devil, worshiping false gods. I break every satanic vow and covenant that if any of the descendants come to Christ, it will be met with upheaval, with affliction, with disease, with sickness, with poverty, with calamity, with accidents, and I wouldn't even know what's happening. Pray with me. In Jesus' name, I renounce every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse, assignment, ritual spoken over my forefathers or by my forefathers in the name of Jesus. And I break satanic vows and covenants that these vows and covenants can never be broken. I break that in Jesus' name. I declare that I have authority to break them in the name of Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, I make a new covenant with you to be your holy bride, and that cancels all former covenants in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I break satanic vows and covenants that there's been demons assigned to guard these covenants. I break them in the name of Jesus. Pray with me. I break in Jesus' name satanic vows and covenants that if anybody in the bloodline comes to Christ, that it'll be met with every curse in the Word of God. I declare in Jesus' name that just the opposite, that every blessing in the Word of God will come to me because I have made a new covenant with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break these covenants. Say it with me in Jesus' name. Lord, I take accountability for every word of death, word of iniquity, curse assignment, satanic ritual spoken over me by my forefathers or anybody else in Jesus' name or that I've spoken. I break them now in Jesus' name. I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers all the way back, say it, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down to my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through satanic vows and covenants in Jesus' name. Now, every demon of those covenants, come out now. Spirit of death, you come out now in Jesus' name. Spirit of sorcery, you come out now in the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. You come out. Every demon of those covenants, come out. All in Jesus' name, all the demons carrying out curses against us has to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Mandy, you want to finish this and I will sit with her?
Thank you, Father. The Lord is good. He's mighty in battle. And I'm going to tell you something. Israel being led by the Lord, they spent their time wandering around the desert, and they came to the River Jordan. Okay? And then the Lord said, I'm going to part the waters, but you've got to come across. There's some of us in here, listen to me. You need to decide you don't want these demons interfering in your life anymore. Okay? And you got to not only be a hearer of what's being spoken, but you got to be a doer. And listen, here's how all of us, there's not a minister that comes up here that thinks we're done. We know we're a work in progress. But our attitude is, and like Sister said, some of those things I called out last night, she might have never heard, but I guarantee you that if they were in her, she didn't want them. So you don't even have to understand everything. You just got to come to this thing in your mind with the Lord. If it's in me and it's not of you, I don't want it. You have to go. And the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's even why I had to have you cough last night. It's just an act of your will to say, get out of me. Amen? So I'm going to take you through just a brief Masonic prayer breaking. And how many know that you have Masons in your background? How many know? Okay, quite a few. Well, I'm going to present to you that the foundation of our nation is five of Lisbon. There might have been some godly people, but there is a whole lot of Masonic in our background. All the way from our founding fathers, the reason that all seems on the back of your dollar bill is because of the Masons. Okay? And so I'm just going to, every one of us has the potential to have Freemasonry in their bloodline, and it brings a curse. I've lived it, because my daddy was a 32nd degree Mason and a Shriner. I know what happens to a family. Okay? So let's just break it. And your attitude is, if it's here, I don't want it. Amen? So, you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent for me and any of my bloodline for any involvement with Freemasonry, the Eastern Star, any similar organization, any secret society, even Jesuits. I repent and I break covenant with Freemasonry. I repent for the oath of Freemasonry. I repent for the oath to cut the throats, cut the chest open, cut the stomach open. I break the power of those oaths. I renounce Gaotu, the great architect of the universe. I renounce Horus and the all-seeing eye. I renounce Baphomet. I renounce Osiris, Isis. In the name of Jesus, I renounce Nimrod, Semiramis, Tammuz. I renounce Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. I renounce every god of Freemasonry. Just do it in the spirit. Just pull it off like you've got a blindfold on. Say, I pull off the hoodwink. I pull off the veil of mourning. I pull off the snake clasp like a belt. Say, I pull off the lambskin apron. I pull off the slippers. I pull off the Masonic wedding ring of your right hand. I pull it off. Say, I renounce the false communion, the unholy resurrection. I renounce Hiram Abiff. I break covenant with all Freemasonry vows. I break the power of the compass in the square. I repent for the pride of proven character. I break the power of pride and perversion and idolatry and infirmity that has come through Freemasonry. And now I command all these spirits whose legal rights have been broken to go, including all the slaughters whose rights have been broken last night, today, this morning, and throughout my life, where I have repented, but they've been hiding. You have to go in Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath. Come on out of them now in the name of Jesus. Get out of God's people. Go, 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 go. The Lord rebukes you. You can't stay. Get out in Jesus' name. Go, go. All the witchcraft, all the occultism of Freemasonry. I break the balls. I break the chains in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Every fallen chain come off of them. Hoodwinks go in the name of Jesus. Veil of mourning in the name of Jesus. Say, I am not a temple prostitute. I renounce Baal in the name of Jesus. I command Asherah and Baal to go. I renounce Lucifer and all Luciferian doctrine and every doctrine of demons. And I command those spirits to go in Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath, church. Come on, let them go. Will them out. Go ahead and talk. Clear the will. Talk. Get them out. Come on up now. All you squatters, come out of God's people. Get out now. In the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Up and out of the village. Come on out of there. In the name of Jesus. Come out of the bowels. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for loosing your warring angels to sword those spirits. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Every constrictor on their mind. In the name of Jesus. I break the power of Rimfan and Saturn in the name of Jesus. Now, go. In Jesus' name. Take one more deep breath. Let them go. Come on out now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, it's your power. It's not by might or power, but by your spirit, Lord. We give you the glory. Everybody who will, raise your hands to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your kindness, and the Holy Spirit of God who comes down from above and destroys the works of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And Lord, in Jesus' name, every place that demon power left, I ask to be filled with your Holy Spirit, baptized in your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food, purify it, sanctify it. Thank you for hope that you've given America. Thank you, Lord, for new hope. We bless you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Love you. Bless you.
Thank you,
Paul. This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.